Mark chapter 15, begin reading with verse number 22. And we'll read to verse 39. And they bring him unto the place Golgotha, which is being interpreted the place of a skull. They gave him to drink wine mingled with myrrh, but he received it not. When he had crucified him, they parted his garments, casting lots upon them what every man should take. And it was the third hour, or 9 o'clock, and they crucified him. And the superscription of his accusation was written over the King of the Jews, and with him they crucified two thieves, the one on his right hand and the other on his left. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, he was numbered with the transgressors. They that passed by railed on him, wagging their heads and saying, Ah, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself and come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests mocking said among themselves with the scribes, He saved others, himself he cannot save. Let Christ the King of Israel descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe. And they that were crucified with him reviled him. And when the sixth hour, or noon, was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, or 3 o'clock. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And some of them that stood by, when they heard it, said, Behold, he calleth Elias. And one ran and filled a sponge full of vinegar and put it on a reed, gave him to drink, saying, Let alone, let us see whether Elias will come to take him down. Jesus cried with a loud voice, gave up the ghost. And the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And when the centurion which stood over against him saw that he cried out and gave up the ghost, he said, Truly, this man was the Son of God. We began looking at a few messages that we have entitled, my God, why? My God, why? As God poured out his wrath upon his Son, he caused darkness over all the land. And as far as we know, men were unable to see little of anything of what was happening to Christ because of the darkness. So we can envision what Christ looked like upon the cross, because we don't find that in the text, nor do we know what our Lord looked like. We can't imagine the pain, the agony, the suffering. We can't imagine the expression that may have been upon his face. But we can't imagine a darkness. And we can't imagine being a spectator in some place close to Golgotha or Calvary or the place where Christ was crucified. And we can't imagine being in darkness and wondering what's going on, wondering what's going to happen next. And we can't imagine why we're wondering all these things, hearing a voice cry out, my God, why? Hast thou forsaken me? We can't imagine that, because it is laid forth plainly in this passage of Scripture. And the hours are told us when Jesus cried out. And we are told that he was heard as he spoke from the cross, the various words that he spoke. And he cried out there in that 34th verse, my God, why? Why? We began considering the thought of that question that is asked with the why. Why is Jesus asking why? What's the context of his crying out, my God, why? Well, we looked last week at how that Jesus always pleased the Father, always brought pleasure to the Father, even before the creation. We find related in Scripture that before the worlds were formed, before man was made, before anything that is came forth, God the Father and God the Son and God the Spirit had a sweet communion. And even before the worlds were formed, Jesus Christ brought delight to God the Father. Jesus brought great delight. We read from Proverbs last week where we find those words where Christ says, he delighted in me. The Father delighted in the Son. So since before creation, Jesus delighted the Father, he says, why? Why have you forsaken me? What has caused this? Well, this morning, as we consider that question, why? I want us to consider his life. I want us to consider his time upon earth. I want us to consider that time between Mary's bringing forth that man-child and Christ's hanging there upon the cross. What did Jesus Christ do during those years? Much of those years are not revealed to us in Scripture. We have a reference of Jesus around 12 years of age. And then Jesus Christ beginning his public ministry when he was about 30 years of age, and his crucifixion being when he was just over 33 years of age. We don't have a lot of specifics, but we have enough scriptural record to declare before your hearing that from the time he came forth, born of the Virgin Mary, until the time he hung up on the cross, he always pleased the Father. He always delighted the Father. He never did anything to bring a frown to the Father. He never did anything to cause God to do what God was doing to him as he hung there upon the cross. Why? Why have you forsaken me? When before creation I pleased you and I delighted you. And now why have you forsaken me? When in all of my life I've done nothing but keep thy will perfectly. Why? Why? Look at John chapter 3. John chapter 3. John 3, verse 35. The Father loveth the Son. The Father God loveth the Son, Jesus, and hath given all things into his hand. The love of verse number 35 is the love of delight. The love of delight. The Father delights in, the Father loves, the Father is pleased with the Son. And because of that delight, because of that pleasure, hath given all things into his hands, or into his hand, as I think we also saw from the book of Proverbs. God proved his delight with the Son before creation by making him the heir of all things. And here the Father delights, rejoices in, loves the Son, and has given all things into his hands. He always pleased the Father. Why? Why have you forsaken me? Haven't I always pleased you? Haven't you always loved me? Haven't you always delighted in me? Haven't I not always kept thy will perfectly? The answer, of course, to all those is yes. In the Gospel of John, chapter 5, verse number 20, the same love of delight is seen in this 20th verse of John chapter 5. For the Father, God, the Father, loveth the Son, the only begotten, Jesus Christ. The Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. Chapter 8 of John. John chapter 8. Verse number 29. Jesus speaking says, and he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone. For I do always, listen to the Lord speaking here concerning the Father, his relationship with the Father. For I do always those things that please him. All the time, always, I do those things which please him. In Matthew chapter 12, Matthew chapter 12, Matthew chapter 12, verse number 18. Behold my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. Little prophetic word here. Concerning God, God speaking concerning Christ, says, behold my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. My beloved in whom my soul is well pleased. John chapter 17. John 17, verse number 4, Christ speaking, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Why hast thou forsaken me when I have always pleased you, always done thy will, always obeyed you, always brought glory to you, always honored you? Why, since I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do, why lie the fact that I have glorified thee on the earth? Verse number 6, Jesus says, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept my word. I have manifested thy name. Why hast thou forsaken me? Why? I've always pleased you. I've always honored you, glorified you, obeyed you, exalted you by my life. Verse number 26 of that 17th chapter of John. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them and I in them. Jesus always pleased the Father. Always did the will of the Father. Always glorified God the Father. That's part of why he cries out, why? Before creation, I pleased you. So why? During all of my life and all of my time on earth, I pleased you. So why? Why hast thou forsaken me? The Bible has much to say about the pleasure that God took in his Son, Jesus Christ. Colossians tells us in chapter 3, around verse number 20, that God delights in those that honor their parents. You want to know what God delights in? God delights in those who honor their parents. Are you a delight to your parents? Irregardless of what age they are at? Do you bring delight to God? Well, Jesus brought delight to God by honoring his parents. At the age of 12, which would have been the time when the Jewish boy would have been becoming a man, he was in the temple, got separated from his parents. His parents come all upset because of the separation anxiety that they had experienced. And he says, Wouldst thou not that I be about my Father's business, speaking about God the Father? He was always pleasing the Father. But on the occasion of that setting, Jesus went back home with mom and dad. He wanted to be about the Father's business because he always did that which delighted the Father. But he was still under their authority as his parents, his earthly parents. And so he went back home with them and he honored them until the time God would appoint for him to come out, be a man, begin his public ministry. God was well pleased with Jesus as a child and in his honoring his parents. Matthew chapter 3, we read about the baptism of Jesus Christ. Why did Jesus need to be baptized? He had never been lost. He had never committed sin. But he says it behooves us to fulfill all righteousness. It's important that I do all things that delight the Father. It's important that I do all those things that glorify the Father. It's important that I do all the little things that the Father would have me to do. And he went down in the water. John the Baptist baptized him. And God demonstrated that he was pleased with the Son by audibly saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Matthew chapter 17, Jesus takes those three disciples of the inner circle up on a mount. And with those three disciples, we're told he is transfigured. And Moses and Elijah appear. And at that moment of the transfiguration, God again audibly spoke. He called out, "This is my Son, in whom I'm well pleased." You need to listen. You need to hear him. But at the transfiguration, he again declared that he was always pleased with the Son. We read that it pleases God by the foolishness of preaching. Preaching what? The cross, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Pleases God by the foolishness of the preaching of Christ to save the lost. God is pleased when Christ is preached. God is pleased when Christ is lifted up. So Jesus always pleased the Father. Can you get that point? Well established in your brain, right? Well established in your thoughts. When he cries out, why? Why? Because he's always done that which is pleasing to the Father. That's part of the why. We'll answer it more directly next week. But one of the things that caused him to say why was he had always pleased the Father during the course of his life. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse number 18. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. Chapter 4, verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. My God, why? I've always pleased you. I've always done that which pleased you. Jesus always pleased the Father. And these verses here in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and 2 Corinthians chapter 4, They're teaching us that we can please the Father. We can hear God say, "This is my beloved Son," and have it said of you, and have it said of me. "This is my beloved daughter, in whom I am well pleased." It can be said of you. But you got to get the point. The point is, Jesus always pleased the Father. And we can please the Father and be declared as being pleasing to the Father when we have the likeness of Jesus Christ. When we have the likeness of Jesus Christ. As we behold the glory of the Lord, we're changed into the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. Almighty God commanded the light to shine out of darkness, commanded to shine within our hearts, to give the light, the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We please the Father when we have the likeness of Jesus Christ. The question isn't, is the Lord pleased? Is God pleased with you as you stand here or you sit here this morning as a human being? The question is, how much are you like Jesus Christ that merits His saying, "I am well pleased"? Do you show forth? Are you changed into the image of Jesus Christ? "Why hast thou forsaken me when I've always done that which pleases you?" And God always gave testimony that He was pleased with the Son. Christ asked the why because of that. We need to understand that He always pleased the Father, and we can have the pleasure of the Father upon us by our likeness, by our showing forth the image of Jesus Christ. Heard a man one night this week, early in the morning. I won't tell you the type of preacher he was. Wasn't a sound preacher. But he was talking about encouraging people. And he said, "You need to see God the way God sees you. God sees you perfectly. God sees you without wrinkle, without flaw. You're a wonderful person." That's not true. God does not see us as human beings perfect. God does not see us in heaven perfectly, flawless, without wrinkle, as we stand here as human beings. The only way God can see us and be pleased with what He sees is if He sees His Son, Jesus Christ. Can Jesus Christ be seen in you? Can Jesus Christ be seen in me? 1 John talks about the coming of the Lord. Talks about our seeing Him as He is. Are going to be with Him. Being made perfectly like Him in a glorified body. We need to see Jesus Christ now. We need to see Jesus Christ today. We need to be looking into the face of Jesus Christ, seeing the glory of God, and that ought to have a changing effect upon us to where we are more and more like Jesus Christ. And as God declared to the Father, "This is my child in whom I am well pleased," we need to hear those words being said of us because of Christ's likeness within us. Do you have Jesus Christ dwelling within you? When we believe, on the Lord Jesus Christ, God is pleased. You want to please God this morning? You want to know God is well pleased with you? Then believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Be saved, oh, this morning. Believe through the saving of your soul. See Jesus Christ dying upon you, the cross for your sins. And if you can believe and will believe that Jesus Christ died for you to the saving of your soul, God will say, "This is my child in whom I am well pleased." You want the pleasure of God upon your life? Believe what he tells us about his son. Believe what the word tells us about the gospel of his son, Jesus Christ. You want to have the Lord pleased with your life? You want to have him say, "Well done"? You want to have him say, "This one I am well pleased with"? Then not only do you need to believe, but you need to be baptized. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the perfect sinless one, said we must fulfill all righteousness. So he went down in the water and he was baptized. And following the baptism, God declared, "This is my precious Son, my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." If you're here and you need scriptural baptism, you want the pleasure of God upon your life, you want God to be pleased with your life, be baptized. Follow your Lord in scriptural baptism. Was it the eunuch who said, "What hinders me from being baptized?" If you really believe, you can be. I really believe, and he was. What hinders you this morning from being baptized, scripturally baptized? What hinders you from knowing God is pleased with you because you have believed in his son and because you have been baptized in the name of his son? You want to know God is pleased with your life? He's got to see Jesus. He's got to see Christ within you. So you need to believe in order to be pleasing to God. You have to be baptized in order to be pleasing to God. And you have to shine forth as Christ shone forth during the course of his life to please the Father. What kind of testimony do you have? What kind of reputation do you have? Do you shine forth like Christ shined forth, always bringing glory to the Father, causing the Father to be well pleased? Always well pleased. Romans chapter 12 tells us to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. How do we present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God? We do so by living like Christ lived. That's a description of Christ's life. He gave himself a living sacrifice before he went to the cross. He gave himself a living sacrifice. He was holy. He was acceptable. He was pleasing unto God. And our Christ-likeness makes us pleasing and acceptable unto God. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 9 tells us we labor, irregardless of the situation, we labor to be accepted. Jesus always labored to be acceptable to the Father. Do we do the same? 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 1, talks about how we ought to walk. We who are saved. How we ought to walk. And what? And please God. A Christian is somebody who knows how they're to walk, and they are pleasing unto God. Jesus Christ knew how to walk and he was pleasing unto God. We must walk according to the example of Jesus Christ to be pleasing unto God. We need to start measuring ourselves not by the person beside us, not by the person we work with, not by the person in our family, not by somebody else in the world. We need to start measuring ourselves by the example of Jesus Christ. And unless we perfectly shine forth Christ, then we don't have the pleasure of the Father upon us. It doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter if you approve of your life or somebody else approves of your life. It doesn't please the Father unless it is like Christ. Unless it is the shining forth of Christ in your life. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? When I always pleased you and we had sweet communion before creation, why? Why hast thou forsaken me when all of my life, every year that I lived upon this earth before my being here upon the cross, why have you forsaken me when I've always pleased you? Why? Christ was perfect and pleasing to the Father before creation. He was perfect and pleasing to the Father during his life. Next week we'll see the real answer to the question why. And I gave you a hint last Sunday. The real answer to the question why hast thou forsaken me has something to do with you. Has something to do with me. God did not forsake Jesus Christ because of anything Jesus had done. He was perfect. He was pleasing unto the Father. But it had everything to do with us. Are you pleasing to the Father? I could say, if you were to die right now, if you were to die right now at this very moment, and you were transported into the presence of the Father, would you be found without any changes, without any redos, without any corrections, taken up just right now as you are in the presence of the Lord? Would you please the Father? Would you please the Father? How much like Christ are you? And I want to ask you this question and I close. If you were to die right now and there's reservation, well, I don't think the Lord would really be pleased with my life as it sits right now. As I sat here on the pew of Faith Baptist Church, if I was to die right now, I don't think I'm like Christ as much as I should be, and I don't think God's really pleased with my life. I want to ask you in closing, what do you need to do to change that? What do you need to do to be more like Christ? What do you need to do to have His Father be pleased with you as He was pleased with Him? And what hinders you from getting that squared away and getting that right with God? He always did those things that pleased the Father. May God help us to live that way. But we can only live that way by living Christ, showing forth Christ. We can only be pleasing to the Father if we are mirror images of Jesus Christ. And that's what we ought to be. Let's stand together.